Welcome to this very special edition of the KJ Masterclass Live, the show which ensures that you profit from your time spent here with experts, either through their industry insights, information, or simply learning from them. And today we have Michael D'Aloia. He is the CEO of Evergreen Podcast, a podcast network and production company. Welcome to the show, Michael.
It's a thrill to be on the show. Thank you very much for having me.
You are welcome to the show, Michael. You are welcome to India once again in this online form.
Right.
And I'm sure not just in India, but a lot of people across the globe will benefit from what we are going to talk about. We'll be talking about podcasting and entrepreneurship. So, Michael, from a common person's perspective, help us understand where is podcasting right now? Is it going forward? Is it going backward? Is it static with all the things that has been happening? Just to understand some sort of a sense for a common person or even a simple podcast or aspiring podcaster who might be trying to understand all the news, all the developments at the moment.
Well, it's certainly an industry and a bit of turmoil at the moment, but it has great promise to it. I think that's why we've decided to invest a significant amount of money and time into podcasting. But the interesting thing is, some of the larger independent podcast companies like Gimlet is now, was acquired by Spotify. That's now been closed. Pineapple Express got acquired. Wondery got acquired by Amazon. So all the large independent podcasting companies are pretty much gone. And what you got left is a collection of what in America we call, the Jan Brady's, like that middle sister tier of podcasting companies that even us, we just have certain limitations. We don't have the critical mass that advertisers are looking for. Typically, I can't deliver a billion impressions like an iHeart can. So we just have to be a little bit more specialized, a bit more niche. The wonderful thing about podcasting, it's a democratized technology. The worst thing about podcasting is also it's a democratized technology. Recently, we've gone through a golden age of television through, Netflix and others, all these different video on demand channels. Even at the height of all this money going into production, you had 524 TV shows in production at one time before the strike. I've got 3 million podcasts being produced on a consistent basis throughout the globe. I think that number's only going to grow. But for advertisers and sponsors to come in at the level that would make this a profitable exercise, there needs to be even more aggregation in the marketplace. Networks like ours just getting much bigger and growing to scale. Or you go the other route in the long tail and you just become super niche so that you can make significant dollars. But even though it's a tumultuous industry, it's just a really cool industry to be a part of.
Right. Cool industry to be a part of. So there are many podcasters everywhere in the globe. Some places, they are, opening up new places. Even like in India, it is growing. So how do you explain to them in terms of, a podcast network? What is a podcast network? I want to understand for them. And is it the only right way to go forward? Because when you talk about most of these podcasters, they are individual podcasters, and the big problem they face is about monetization. Even the ones who are getting, good numbers and good listenerships, or nowadays even viewership. So how do you explain to them vis-a-vis is individual podcaster as well as a podcast network? Even I want to understand this thing called podcast network better. Sure. Whether one should go along or go with you.
Well, the underlying premise of a podcast network is that aggregation of a number of shows, we can deliver a set amount or a larger amount of downloads for an advertiser or sponsor. I see the industry kind of diverging into two paths, one being the networks like ours, and we're going to continue to aggregate and to acquire and to pull on other networks onto our platform. We'll sell for these other shows and platforms. So in essence, when you come over as an independent podcaster to Evergreen, we sign a contract, and that contract simply states that you continue to produce the show with the high quality that you're currently doing. And in exchange, we take away your hosting and distribution fees. We handle all that. We also handle your sales. And so we have direct relationships to all the advertising agencies, as well as brands that are interested in podcasting. We help with marketing, so we handle some of your social media posts. You know, we've got a number of channels that we can put on the show. We have partnerships, so we may share the show with another group. We're looking at 360 deals, so we're selling everything. If you want to go on tour, we'll handle that for you. So you can go that route. We're going to aggregate all these shows, typically underneath a specific genre or series of genres, and sell those out to the advertisers. Or you could go the Joe Rogan route, because everyone wants to be Joe Rogan,
right?
And go on your own and build up sponsorships, ad revenue that way. And that could work. I mean, you could have a real estate show doing a couple million downloads a month, and you could probably make a very nice living on your own doing just that, or having an entrepreneurial show delivering a few million. The key is you got to deliver some form of critical mass that a series of advertisers or sponsors find illuminating, and therefore they're going to buy into. But I do see that that path starting to take, and especially for the larger shows. In the United States, a lot of the larger shows had minimum guarantees where the network was guaranteeing them a set amount of money a month. All of those minimum guarantees have either disappeared or have been radically reduced. So a lot of the bigger shows are going it on their own as opposed to being part of a network. It's that middle tier, especially in the United States, and by middle tier, I'm talking about a show doing, let's say, 10,000 downloads a month to a million. They still may want to be part of a network. And that's where we're seeing a lot of activity. Those larger shows starting to come over to an Evergreen type network. And, you know, we're going out and selling those. So you do have a path. It's just, if you're going to go it alone, how can you build a super niche or a super influence that's going to deliver some form of critical mass? Or if you're in that 10 to 100,000, 10 to 500,000 download a month, what is the best network for you that can deliver a global reach? I should note, we have two partnerships in India. We have it with JioSaavn, and then we also have another one with Idea Brews, where we're delivering a number of our shows to those platforms. And one of them, Idea Brews, is actually delivering Hindi-based programming to us. We call it the Voices of India page. We've done a similar partnership with Nippon Broadcasting System out of Japan. So we'll send them a bunch of English shows, and in return, they're sending us a series of Japanese-based programming. And we're starting to do these partnerships all across the globe, because even the Nippon Broadcasting System, which is doing 12 to 14 million downloads a month, all in Japanese, of course, is still having a hard time finding advertisers and sponsors for that particular marketplace. So we're trying to aggregate globally as much as we can to deliver to American brands who may want to be in different markets.
Right. Right, Michael. I want to understand, you know, that a lot of these guests, companies, a lot of, you know, influential people, they want to use podcasting as a marketing tool. Even a lot of advertising companies come and talk on shows.
Sure. But
why is it that they are not so keen on putting enough money into these podcast? Is it because they are looking for some more concrete structure, or trying to understand where exactly is the hassle? It's like, you know, one part you like, you know, the Dr. Jekyll and Mr. Hyde. But here you don't know who is Dr. Jekyll and who is Mr. Hyde. So how do you look at? Secondly, you know, want to understand who is a podcast entrepreneur? Is it only because you are the CEO of a podcast network, so you will be a podcast entrepreneur or in that sense? Or if a particular person, individual who is a good podcaster, can they look also themselves as a podcast entrepreneur? Do you have a future in that? A big company or even a company like yours, if it succeeds, it succeeds. If it not, it falls. But what about the smaller people who are putting so much of hard work, who are putting their soul, who are putting so much of hours? A lot of people are doing it full-fledgedly. Can they be podcast entrepreneurs? Can they be content entrepreneurs, as Tilt, the Tilt uses this word more? So right. I like that word. So how do you look at that, so that, you know, people can look at it as a career at whatever stage they are in?
For sure. Well, the short answer is yes. An individual doing a podcast can be a podcast entrepreneur. And as I mentioned in my previous answer, that split between the networks beginning to aggregate and the individual hosts going on their own. Listen, if you can deliver an audience that is tantalizing to an advertiser and sponsor, then just, I would say, go it on your own. I mean, because when we sign a sales agreement with, for example, it may be with your show, we're taking the industry standard, which is 50%. So there may be some larger shows or niche shows where, like, why am I sharing 50% with my agent? Really, I mean, we're agents. So I would say if you can deliver a super niche that is tantalizing to an advertiser or a sponsor, I would say you could go alone and you would be fine. You got to understand, too, what's happening in the overall media marketplace, where what we call linear TV in the United States, which are the regular channels, ABC, ESPN, CBS, right? They're all starting to decline in viewership. So those ad dollars have gotten static and are starting to decline in that area. The video on demand platforms are not profitable yet for any of the large aggregates. Radio in the US, which when we started Evergreen in 2017, radio was $17.5 billion marketplace. Today it's $13 billion. All those ad dollars, though, have not trickled down into podcasting. I think the belief was that as these linear TV and video on demand and radios are either in decline or in some form of flux, these ad dollars would filter into podcasting. That has not happened to the degree I think everybody wanted to. So you've got an oversupply of shows and an undersupply of ad revenue, to the point where we've decided early on not to really focus on the advertising, but rather go straight to the brands and offer up sponsorships, which are higher margin. So instead of selling a CPM for a show at $28, $30, $35 a CPM, I can sell a $100,000 sponsorship right to Regal Cinema or Walmart. And that's a better deal for us and for our podcast. You know, it's a challenge, but those who are super sophisticated and can deliver that niche as an individual, you'll make it, and you'll make a nice living if you can deliver that.
Okay. And where is the money? Who, as they say in the US, show me the money. So if a podcaster says, show me the money, where is the money? Who is going to bring in the money? Is it people like you? And who are your competitors? Is it the big players or is it the other podcast networks? But at the end of the day, who comes with the money to the podcaster? And is it only about being part of the podcast network or individual then? that they will, money will come to them, you know, either through whatever mechanism, maybe 50%, less than 50%, whatever it is, but will they get it or is all going to be pod fed? If that is pod fed, then the industry is going not going to grow like this. And you know, where will ultimately, even the industry needs podcasters?
Yeah, I think there'll always be podcasting in some form. I do think there's a reckoning, so to speak, of there's just too many shows and not enough advertisers. The interesting thing, too, you make a great valid point of where are the larger brands? I mean, Chevrolet, Pepsi, Coca-Cola, Budweiser. I mean, these are large brands in the United States, Tata in India, right? I mean, they're not necessarily doing a lot of podcast advertising. And so what you've got are just a bunch of mid-tier brands, right? And a lot of subscription services, medicine, online medicine. Those are the groups that have put a lot of money into advertising. It's not the super brands. Quite frankly, I think where the brands are putting a lot of their money, the Chevrolets, the Coca-Colas, the Pepsi, is probably into sports advertising and sports sponsorships, as opposed to direct ads into podcasting, radio, or TV. That's where I think it's going.
Okay. So what should the podcasters do to monetize it? And is it the beginning of consolidation, if we can call it, in the podcast industry? Has the consolidation, is that over? And will there be something new, something fresh that will begin now that we all know Spotify is there within, you know, in video? Yeah. Earlier it was in audio. Now everyone has got video available. YouTube had got video, but now they've got audio available.
That's
so
right.
How is, and these are two big players, you know, there. Others, I don't know how this is going to pan out, but how does this industry look like? Is it the beginning of something good, big? Or is it, you know, the pain is still left and that one has to bear?
I think we're in the second or third inning. You know, it's early is what I, you know, suggesting. And it's going to take probably another 7 to 10 years to kind of filter out what the market is going to look like for podcasting. But what can a podcaster do to set themselves apart? Obviously, cadence, you know, a consistency with the show. If you're a daily show, make sure it's daily. If it's a weekly show, make sure you're weekly. Never skip. You know, have an inventory so that if you want to take a vacation, you can put a show in. That's what we preach a lot. Second thing is have a YouTube channel. And so you're building audio content and video content like we're doing right now. You're using StreamYard. And I'm assuming this is going out to YouTube and also on various podcast. That's what, you know, having that backlog, that back catalog and that consistency, those are all going to help. Make sure you've got a show rate card or a media kit. Those two things are going to separate you from about 80 to 85% of the shows out there because they don't have these two things. And the information you want in those are your levels of sponsorship and your CPM rates that you can deliver. So those are the, we have a dog policy in our, we got a dog that just came into the office, Crosby. He's very excited to be here today. So off camera, we've got our corporate pet in the building today.
Right. So in terms, then how do you plan this, your next move or business moves when this industry is going through so many changes? Or you just watch it and just, will wait it out? How does it, for a business person, it is not that easy, especially it's about bringing not only value to yourself, but also to a lot of people who are associated with it. With you, with a lot of podcasters, a lot of outside, agencies, brands, companies, and all.
Yeah, I'm of the mindset you never sit still. Many years ago, I worked for Ernst & Young, which is a global Big Four accountancy, and they always used to say, we move at the speed of blur. And I always took that to heart. And so we, once the industry started to sort of falter a little bit and it became chaotic earlier this year, you know, probably late last year when the ad rates started to crater, we decided we were going to acquire as much as we possibly could, given the limited financial resources that we had. So earlier this summer, we acquired Sound Talent Media. We just recently bought the RR Show out of the UK. We just bought Disturbed, which is a true crime network here in the United States. I've got two other bids outstanding for a Bridal network, Bridal podcast network, and a more of a faith-based, family-based podcast network. We're in the buying mode of what I would say are smaller to middle market podcast networks that we can bring underneath our banner. So they have to deliver a certain threshold of podcast downloads. Because for us, it's all critical mass. How much can we deliver to the advertisers and sponsorship? So yeah, we've decided, and we're spending a lot of capital into the acquisition stage of buying these other networks, and which presents its own level of stress in addition to what we're trying to do on a day-to-day basis. But we just felt that that was the right way to go. And we're getting a lot of these podcast networks at depressed prices because there's just such a glut of shows and programming into the marketplace.
Right. Is it that geography will come to your help here? Is it things are moving beyond the US, US, Canada? Brazil has been doing some, you know, something good, a lot of good news from there. How do you see, which regions do you see can be, you know, the answers in terms of what everyone is looking for? Or is it only going to be your US-based or the or Western world-based? Or do you think, okay, some other part of the world will come out with something, you know, the answer that they are looking for?
Listen, I think that the global market is probably the bigger growth market at this point, which is why we made some early bets with, again, Jio7 and Idea Brews in India. Our recent partnership with the Nippon Broadcasting System out of Japan. And we just signed a deal with Crowd Network out of the UK. In all of those agreements, we are the North American sales agent for those networks to bring American brands into the Indian market, the Japanese market, the UK market. So these are shows not even on our network, but we can deliver advertisers to them. That's where we are going to, I think, make a lot of revenue in the future, is repping global networks here in the US and delivering US brands to them. It may not be in our US-based podcast network itself. It's just not big enough. So, for example, we as a network are delivering between 2.2 million and 2.5 million podcast downloads a month. And that'll change once we get these two other acquisitions in place. So we might grow to 4 million. Our international partnerships are delivering 18 to 20 million downloads a month, right? So we can deliver a lot more value globally at the moment than we can domestically. And I think that's where we're going to make our mark in the podcast marketplace, is being able to deliver global podcasts as opposed to just English, you know, American stylized podcasting.
Right, right. There is much to understand about this whole podcast industry, podcast entrepreneurship, content.
Yeah.
Entrepreneurship. So a lot of people would like to learn directly from you. So what is the best way for them to connect with you, learn more from you, learn more about Evergreen Podcast, and also those who would like to have a business relationship with
you? Yeah, well, our website's evergreenpodcasts.com. And then my email is mdealoia, M-D-E-A-L-O-I-A, at evergreenpodcast.com. We always answer our emails. So if anyone wants to get in touch with us, we're happy to kind of share what we're doing and a lot of knowledge share of how we're going to grow our shows and how we position ourselves in the marketplace. Because everyone's going to do a little different, even if they have our game plan, which is not, it's not rocket science. It's just, you know, we just got a dedicated staff doing it every day. So it'll change. And we're happy to help anybody, anytime, any place, anywhere. We're all in this together. So we're happy to help.
Absolutely. With this, it's a wrap on this very special edition of the KHA Masterclass Live. Thank you so much indeed for joining us.